almost evening. It's 5:17. We're going to reconvene the Judiciary Committee, and we will start with Senate File 200. This is a vehicle bill for our judiciary policy bill. Senator Latz, did you want to start by moving the delete all amendment?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I move the delete everything amendment.
Okay, Senator Latz moves the A2 amendment. All those in favor say aye. Aye. Opposed? Okay, the amendment is adopted. And go ahead, Senator Latz, and explain the bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. This is our one of our two omnibus policy bills that we'll be advancing today. We expect that it's going to end up in the Judiciary Public Safety Conference Committee after it moves through the process. But this is a policy-only bill in keeping with our practice here of advancing policy that does not have any fiscal impact alone without being a part of the omnibus finance bill. All of the provisions that are in the Delete Everything Amendment are provisions that we have already heard as standalone bills in the Senate Judiciary Committee. I will ask counsel to simply identify each of those bills so that the committee gets reminded of what they are and the public is aware also of what bills we are advancing into this policy omnibus bill.
Thank you, Senator Latz. Ms. Primo.
Mr. Chair, Madam Chair and members, I will give a very high-level overview. There is a more detailed summary in your packets, and I can also stand for any specific questions. So in Article 1, there is Senate File 1657, a Senator Dietzick bill that classifies some financial data on licensees collected by local governments. Senate File 1050, Senator Carlson, Metro Transit data and customer data classified as private. Senate File 2913, a Senator Limmer bill. This requires maintenance of privacy of certain personal information on judges and provides criminal penalties. Article 2 begins on page 5 and has two bills, Senate File 1332, a Senator Latz bill that provides certain consumer protection civil remedies are in the public benefit, and Senate File 997, a Senator Latz bill that modifies the survival of certain personal injury actions. Article 3 is on page 7. This also includes two bills, Senate File 1886, Senator Umover-Bayton, amends the Minnesota Human Rights Act and amends the definitions of sexual orientation and gender identity. Senate File 1885, a Senator Kupick bill, prohibits employer inquiry into an applicant's past pay. Article 4 begins on page 21. This also has three bills. Senate File 1814, Senator Limmer, modifications to the DWI and controlled substances forfeiture process. Senate File 2597, a Senator Latz bill, amends the timing and standard for filing a petition for post-conviction relief. Senate File 2495, Senator Umover-Bayton, provides for the inadmissibility of certain admissions and confessions obtained as a result of misrepresentation. Article 5 begins on page 26. Senate File 2318, a Senator Cruen bill that modifies the name change process for persons with a felony conviction. Senate File 148, a Senator Maquaid bill that authorizes civil marriage officiants. Article 6 begins on page 29, includes Senate File 294, a Senator Westland bill making clarifying and technical changes to statutes governing real property transactions. And Senate File 1051, a Senator Carlson bill amending the Marketable Title Act. Article 7 begins on page 40 And this the entire article includes Senate File 293, a Senator Umu Verbaten bill that amends the Ban the Box law for appointments to multi-member agencies and also changes some processes for filling vacancies to those agencies. And that's the entirety of the DE amendment.
Madam Chair.
Senator Lemmer.
Just a quick question. I was informed that this broadcast is not through our listserv, and so I'm wondering, does the public have access to this meeting at this time?
Give me a second to connect with staff, Senator Lemmer.
The information that I have is
Senator
still
Lemmer.
Being announced that it is, this meeting is at the call of the chair. So it appears as though no one knows in the public, general public, that we're even meeting at this time.
So I'm just reviewing what we have here on the official Senate pages. It looks like there was a network error on the Minnesota Senate page, but I do see, I see us on YouTube, so it is being broadcast through Senate media.
Through Senate media?
Mm-hmm. Right. I could see your face in both places.
But not through listserv.
It didn't go through.
There's a network error on the listserv right now.
I see, okay.
Mm-hmm. Questions on the bill?
Madam Chair.
Senator Latz.
There are two additional amendments I would like the committee to consider adding to the bill.
Wonderful. Would you like to start with A3?
Yes.
Okay.
That's fine. If somebody could tell me which one the A3 amendment is.
So the A3 amendment is Senate File 1448, and Ms. Primo, if you could give us an explanation.
Madam Chair and members, this was a bill that the Judiciary Committee heard, and it provides for a cause of action for retrieval of towed vehicle contents, and it's a Senator Latz bill.
Senator Lemmer.
Thank you. Senator Latz, could you explain what the A3 amendment actually does? I don't recall the hearing on it. Maybe you could remind us of what the problem we're trying to solve and how do we do it?
Senator Latz.
Yes, thank you. If staff could email the actual amendment to me, I can look at it word for word. This was an initiative to address situations where a vehicle was towed and there were contents of the vehicle that were unrelated to the commission of any offense, but are the personal property of the individual who owns the vehicle. As I recall, this was intended to facilitate the retrieval of those contents without any undue barriers to that, such as work tools or business papers, things like that, unrelated to the cause of the tow. But perhaps counsel can elaborate on that since I don't have the text in front of me.
Thank you, Senator Latz. Ms. Primo, is there anything you'd add?
Madam Chair and members, I don't have anything specific to add, but if there are questions about it. This bill came to judiciary, I think, because of the specific civil action and injunctive relief that it, is included.
All right, with that, Senator Latz moves the A3 amendment. All those in favor say aye. Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
Okay, the amendment is adopted. We'll move to the A6 amendment. That's being handed out to us. I believe it's being emailed to you, Senator Latz. And this was Senate File 67. I'll let Ms. Primo explain the bill while it's being passed out.
Thank you. Madam Chair, before Ms. Primo does that, just to confirm, the previous amendment that was added on was heard in committee on March 3rd.
Thank you, Senator Latz. Ms. Primo?
Madam Chair and members, yes, this is Senate File 67, a Senator Port bill, and it provides a name change process for persons who got a divorce, but during that divorce proceeding did not elect to change their name, but at some point later, they've now decided they'd like to go back to their birth name or their maiden name. And this provides a similar process that's under current law for when you would like to change your name during the actual divorce process.
Senator Westland?
Just for clarification, this did start out as Senator Port's bill, but I actually took it over as chief author.
Okay, seeing no questions, Senator Latz moves the A6 amendment. All those in favor say aye. 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 Opposed? Okay, the amendment's adopted. We'll move to the A8 amendment, which will be passed out to folks right now. That was formerly Senate File 1332, which was your bill, Senator Latz. Okay. And this bill was included in the first DE that we adopted, but there are some technical changes. Ms. Primo, if you could explain.
Madam Chair and members, this amends Senate File 1332, a Senator Latz bill that provides that certain consumer protection remedies are in the public benefit. The changes are generally clarifying and technical. There's an effective date being added, and you'll notice that the language involved in a sale of merchandise for personal, family, household, or agricultural purposes is being moved from line 5.26 to line 5.21, but overall, the substance is the same.
Anything you'd add, Senator Latz?
No, thank you, Madam Chair. I ask for the committee's support.
Okay, Senator Latz moves the A8 amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Aye. The amendment's adopted. On to Senate File 200 as amended. Any final questions? Senator Kroon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The underlying bill, Senate File number 200, that you used as a vehicle for this policy omnibus bill, did any of those provisions remain in here after your A2 amendment, specifically the entry for attorneys at courthouses without having to be subject to electronic or other physical search and having a separate line?
Senator Latz.
Madam Chair and Senator Kroon, I would love to have included that, but I am informed by our finance staff that there is some fiscal element to those provisions. So I'd ask maybe Mr. Turner can identify that for us if either of those two additional components have no fiscal impact. I'd love to add it in, but I don't want to cause this bill to have to go to the Finance Committee. So if we can't add it here, I'd be looking for another way to advance those two provisions.
Mr. Turner.
Madam Chair, members. Although the fiscal note doesn't quantify costs, it does describe costs. And the court in the fiscal note does not take responsibility for those costs, in which case it would be a mandate on counties who are in charge of courthouses. And that would take it into the Finance Committee alone. If the court did recognize the costs, and the bill does direct the court to conduct background checks, issue badges, et cetera, it would have to delineate a cost, and then that would bring it into finance. So I'm sorry to say that this can't be part of a pure policy bill.
Senator Kroon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And thank you, Mr. Turner. That's a perfectly reasonable and understandable explanation. I appreciate that. It's unfortunate because, in my view, that would have been the best thing to be included in this bill. But it's unfortunate, but I understand. Thank you.
Madam Chair.
Senator Latz.
There were two components to the underlying bill separate from the uncertified copies of court documents. One was the attorney access to the courthouses, and the other one was attorney access to the Minnesota government records system, commonly referred to as MGA. And I don't recall if the fiscal note, actually I do, the fiscal note did not ascribe a specific cost to that. There was some discussion under the fiscal note for that provision that if there were a lot of additional attorneys allowed access to that system, that it's possible that the system might not be able to handle the additional traffic, and that might cause some disruption in the and incurring some additional costs to deal with that. But I'd ask Mr. Turner if he's gotten any guidance on that provision. If that piece were to be moved alone, would that cause this bill to go to finance?
Mr. Turner.
Mr. Chairman, members, the fiscal note on MGA accounts reads, if the judicial branch does not change its rules, policies, and procedures governing access to records, the attorney access provisions would have no fiscal impact on the judicial branch. If the judicial branch does change its rules, policies, and procedures governing access to records, the attorney MGA access provisions would have a fiscal impact, but the costs are unknown. Elsewhere, in the fiscal note, if there are too many additional users, the system experiences performance issues, as Senator Latz pointed out, the branch would have to design and implement a separate system for private attorneys. And they say that based on similar projects, the cost of such a new system is approximately $1.6 million with annual operating costs of $445,000. That is speculative on additional users. I think that that this, I think that that it can go forward with the understanding that it would be part of the omnibus, and we would further explore that. The cost for that provision is not as cut and dried as the access to the courthouse.
Senator Latz.
With that understanding, then I would like to offer an additional amendment to include the attorney access to MGA.
Okay.
Thank you, Senator Latz. I believe that's the A5 amendment, which is being distributed now. Senator Latz.
Madam Chair, the A5 amendment that I have is different. It deals with ignition interlock, which we also want to make a part of this bill, but I think we need to hold off. Is there a different amendment number that we should be referring to?
So there's two A5s.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm looking at the A5 to the other omnibus policy bill. Let me see what I've got here. Okay, I don't have the A5 to Senate File 200 in front of me.
Okay.
But I have seen the language. Does the A5 contain multiple? Does it contain both the attorney access to courthouses and the MGA access for attorneys?
Yes, it does, Senator Latz. And it's just being emailed to you right now.
Thank you. And then I would move to divide the amendment between those two provisions.
Okay.
And then take up the provision relating to the MGA first.
Okay. Council,
and I do have that amendment in front of me now. Thank you.
Great. Do you want to move the first part of the amendment, or I can ask council to do that?
No, the first part of the, well, yes, I'd like to move to divide the amendment between lines 1.23 and 1.24.
Okay.
Actually, I'm not sure I would need to move that. I think we can do that simply upon the request, as I understand it procedurally. And then I would move to adopt the second part of the amendment to the lines 1.24 to line 1.29.
Okay, we're going to go to council. Ms. Primo.
Madam Chair and members, I propose that what we do is actually amend the A5 to delete lines 1.3 to 1.23 of the amendment and insert page 4 after line 13, insert. So then...
So moved.
All right. Senator Latz moves the A5 amendment as described by council. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Aye. The amendment's adopted. Do you have any additional? Oh, go ahead, Senator Latz.
I'm sorry. I'm stepping on your lines, Madam Chair. I will wait to be recognized.
No, go ahead. I was going to ask if you had any further amendments, but it looks like you're making the final motion. So please go for it.
I move adoption of the A5 amendment as amended.
Senator Limmer.
Just to have a little discussion. Couldn't the Supreme Court, management methods, couldn't they have done this as well rather than go through statute?
Senator Latz.
Madam Chair, Senator Limmer, I believe that they could have, but this has been proposed for at least a couple of years and they have not taken the steps to do that. So, I'd like to advance the statutory proposal at this time.
So, Madam Chair.
Senator Limmer.
Senator Latz, do you have any indication that they would oppose this policy?
Senator Latz.
Madam Chair, Senator Limmer, I think they were concerned about sort of the speculative aspect of what might become issues relating to it. I don't know if they would take a formal position opposing this proposal or not. I'm certainly open to and willing to have further discussions with them. If they think there is something of concern that we would need to address, I'm happy to do that. At this point, I'd like to be able to advance the proposal.
Mm-hmm. Ms. Primo?
Madam Chair and members, just a super technical thing to add to the A5, page 1, line 4 of the A2DE, after privacy, insert and access. It's just amending the header, not just thought I'd take care of it.
Madam Chair.
Senator Latz.
I move inclusion of the amended language as recommended by Ms. Primo.
Okay, thank you. Senator Latz moves the A5 amendment. All those in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye. Aye.
The amendment's adopted. Senator Latz.
Madam Chair, I should ask council and staff if there are any other amendments that need to be added to the Senate file 200 at this time to complete the process for moving the omnibus bill forward.
Thank you, Senator Latz. So just to ensure that we get this correct, you're moving Senate file 200 as amended. We'd also like to give council the authority to make any necessary technical changes. Is that your final motion?
That will be my final motion as soon as I'm confirmed with staff that we have put everything in the omnibus bill that was intended to be put in at this point.
Yes, Senator Latz. I'm confirming with staff. They're nodding their heads. Yes.
Okay.
Go ahead, Senator Latz.
Then, Madam Chair, I move that Senate File 200 as amended, and including a direction to staff to make any technical changes that are necessary to facilitate the bill here be recommended to pass and be sent to the Senate floor.
On Senator Latz's motion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
Okay, the amendment, or I'm sorry, the motion prevails and the bill has been sent to the Senate floor. We'll move on to Senate file 1267, which is our public safety omnibus. Whenever you're ready, Senator Latz.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. This, again, is a policy-only omnibus bill. The common theme here are public safety initiatives. There is a delete everything amendment, which staff can confirm, but I believe that everything in that delete everything amendment has already had a hearing in front of the Judiciary Committee. This would be an author's amendment. So I ask it's an option, then we can have staff identify the specific provisions in the amendment.
Mr. Backus.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. So yeah, I'll be working off the SES 1267A-1 amendment. And similar to Ms. Primo, since the committee's heard these provisions, I'm just going to essentially mention what they are. And each provision is not only have you heard it, but it's the same language as the last version. And there is a detailed section by section summary in your packets. So first, the first bill I'll mention is Senate File 1972, Senator Pappas's bill, which deals with juvenile facilities and the use of strip searches and disciplinary isolation. That is in Article 1, Sections 1 to 3, 5, and 6. The next Senate file is Senate File 1596, Senator Seeberg's bill, providing that the ombudsperson for corrections may only be removed for just cause. That is Article 1, Section 4. Article 2 is entirely comprised of Senate File 1661, Senator Kunesh's bill on tribal nations probation delivery of probation. Moving to Article 3, we'll begin with Senate File 225, Senator Hoffman's bill on carbon monoxide alarms. That's Articles 3, Sections 1 to 7. Next is Senator Latz's Senate File 2396. It deals with the private detective boards and the documentation of training of licensee employees. That's Article 3, Section 8. Next is Senator Gustafson's Senate File 1038, which has to do with the financial responsibility of domestic assault by strangulation examinations. That's Article 3, Section 9. Next is Senator Limmer's bill reporting of carjacking. That is Senate File 947, Article 4, Section 1. The next two provisions are Senator Seeberger's Senate File 477, which deals with retaliation by law enforcement agencies or other peace officers against peace officers who report the use of excessive force. That's Article 4, Sections 2 and 3. There are two Senator Umo Verbaeten bills next, Senate File 427, which addresses local governments' cooperation with law, post-board investigations of peace officers. That's Article 4, Sections 4 and 5. And then Senate File 426, which has to do with criminal history background checks on peace officers and the acquisition of employment records relating to law enforcement hires, Article 4, Sections 6 to 9. Continuing, Senate File 2251, Senator Kunesh's bill, which has changes related to tribal law enforcement agencies. That is Article 4, Sections 10 to 16 and 19. Then Senator Latz's Senate File 2734, which deals with mobile tracking devices placed on stolen vehicles, Article 4, Section 17. Next is Senate File 2798, Senator Latz's bill removing limits on the Minneapolis Police Department's number of deputy chiefs or inspectors. That's Article 4, Section 18. Senator McQuaid's bill on deep fakes is included, Senate File 1394. That is Article 5, Sections 3, 15, and 20. Senator Latz's bill on gross misdemeanor maximum sentences, Senate File 816, is included. That's Article 5, Sections 4 to 9 and 25. Senate File 586, Senator Latz's bill on prosecutorial initiated resentences is included. That's Article 5, Section 2 and Section 10. Senator Umo Verbaeten's bill on probation caps, Senate File 1950 is included. That's Article 5, Sections 11 to 13, 23 and 24. Senator Limmer's bill on swatting, i.e. reporting false emergencies, is included, Senate File 682. That's Article 5, Section 16. Senate File 70, Senator McQuaid's bill that had a number of miscellaneous abortion provisions, part of that is included. The repealers, the fornication, sodomy, and adultery crime repealers, and then miscellaneous repealers in Chapter 617 is included, as is the change in that bill relating to concealing birth, this concealing birth crime. Those provisions are Article 5, Section 18, 19, and 26. Next is Senator Gustafson's Senate File 294, which deals with the peeping Tom or surreptitious intrusion crime. It creates two new crimes and amends the statute of limitations. That's Article 5, Section 1, 14, and 21. And then finally, Senator Champion's bill, Senate File 528, dealing with pardons extraordinary. That's Article 5, Section 22.
Thank you, Mr. Backus. Let's get this delete all amendment just officially in front of us. So Senator Latz moves the A1 amendment. All those in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The amendment's adopted. And there is another amendment to get this bill in the shape you want it, the A5 amendment, the other A5 amendment, Senator Latz.
Yes, thank you.
Would you like to explain?
Yes, Madam Chair, some of the members may recall we've had some conversation about ignition interlock, and there are two provisions in this bill in this amendment. One is when under current DWI law, if a person is arrested for DWI, there are some provisions which require them to be held for court. And then when they are released, the judge has the option or must give them one of two options, posting $12,000 bail or release on condition of no use of alcohol and electronic monitoring to verify the abstinence. This provision here would allow an exception for the electronic alcohol monitoring provision in existing statute so that if a person has the ignition interlock device in the vehicle and under the terms of that program, they're only allowed to drive that vehicle, that's by statute, then that would be sufficient electronic monitoring to verify the abstinence condition of conditional release while the criminal case is pending. And that could be implemented either at the time of initial release from custody upon arrest and charging, or it could be implemented at any time before the criminal case is resolved while that condition of release is in effect as a substitute for the separate electronic alcohol monitor. Let's see, there is a plate impoundment provision in here as well that would change, you know, what plates need to be impounded when a person is subject to a DWI-related plate impoundment. Currently, the law applies to all vehicles that are owned by, registered, or leased in the name of the violator, including those that are registered jointly or leased in the name of a violator and another. The most common situation is where a husband and wife jointly own a vehicle. One may have gone on the title to help secure the financing for the vehicle, but the vehicle is a primary vehicle driven by the other spouse. Yet, if their plates are impounded and they have to end up getting special series plates to be able to drive that vehicle, it's a concern. So would change the law so that the only plate that would be impounded is the vehicle that's involved in the offense itself. And then there is a choice of vendor provision in here relating to ignition interlock, in which it prohibits judicial officers, county agencies, or probation officers from requiring or suggesting that a person participate in a interlock using a particular vendor. So essentially, they can't steer someone toward any particular vendor. They could give them a list of all vendors that are certified in Minnesota to do that. And the only exception to this limitation would be if the county has a contract for a specific vendor for indigent program participants, because we have a separate mechanism by which indigent persons get special rates for interlocked use. So that's the amendment.
Okay, thank you, Senator Lotz. So you have moved the A5 amendment. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? The amendment's adopted. We're on Senate File 1267 as amended. And I think we have one more oral amendment that you need to offer, Senator Lotz. Do you have that language in front of you?
I do not believe that I do. Perhaps counsel could explain that.
Mr. Backus.
Madam Chair and members, the motion would be essentially to insert the contents of Senate File 3236 as amended. That was Senator Seeberger's carjacking bill from earlier today. And if it's okay with members, I would propose a technical change that I could just read so I don't, you know. So basically it would be to page 23 of the A1 amendment. That was Senator Limmer's provision on carjacking. I would propose that on line 23.28, delete everything after means, and then delete lines 29 to 32 and insert a violation of section 609.247. That would be a reference to the new statutory section being created in and Senator Seaburg's bill, because there's no reason to not make that cross-reference.
So Senator Letts. Okay, Senator Letts moves the amendment as described by council. All those in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
The amendment's adopted. Okay, we're back to the bill as amended. Senator Howe.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Senator Letts, where I guess I've got some concerns is in Article 3, when it comes to these carbon monoxide detectors, having built dealt with fire code and building code for better part of 30 years, we deal with this in the fire code. We deal with this with all the folks that do the inspections. We inspect these things every 3 years. I'm just looking at the added cost when it says that, you know, there's an exception. You have to do this in the fire code to be licensed. If there's any carbon monoxide producing devices in the hotel, or if you have an attached garage, you need to have that. I don't understand why we've got it that it's in every place, whether or not there's any carbon monoxide producing devices in the building. It looks like a huge waste of time and effort for folks to check them and to install them and maintain them. So I guess I'm concerned that we already have codes and regulations that deal with this, why we're putting in a state statute in such a way that the folks that are, to me, the experts in the field don't believe there's a need for it, but yet here we are putting in state statute. And I've had phone calls from the state fire marshal's office and the Department of Labor and Industry, folks that work in both of those areas, and calling me and say this is not needed.
Senator Letts.
Madam Chair, I'm just taking a look through the language that's in the bill in front of us. This is Article 3 of the bill, starting on page 20. It does have a requirement that every guest room in a hotel or lodging house must have an approved and operational carbon monoxide alarm installed in each room lawfully used for sleeping purposes. It does appear, the existing statute requires that every single family dwelling and every dwelling unit in a multifamily dwelling must have a carbon monoxide alarm. That does not have anything specific that says only if the building has a carbon monoxide producing piece of equipment. I would anticipate that every hotel or lodging house that has a central heating system for sure probably has a carbon monoxide producing equipment in it. We did hear testimony, a horror story, in which a hotel room ended up being filled with carbon monoxide and causing very serious, either serious injury or death. I don't recall the testimony specifically. I think this is a small price to pay to ensure that all guests in a hotel or lodging house would not be exposed to the risk of carbon monoxide poisoning, which, as we know, you know, it causes asphyxia, which can lead to permanent brain damage or death. I will also note that from a an enforcement standpoint, the first violation is not a penalty violation is punishable by a safety warning, and a second or subsequent violation is a petty misdemeanor. So we're not imposing any substantial penalties on folks, but we are imposing the mandate, which at this point I think is reasonable. I'm open to a conversation that if a hotel or a lodging house can maybe certify that they do not have any carbon monoxide producing equipment, and promise that they never will without carbon monoxide alarms, that perhaps there could be an exemption for them. But I'm not prepared to adopt such an exception at this time, but I'm happy to have a continuing conversation about that.
Senator Howe.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And thank you, Senator Latz. So I think what I'll do is take the language that's out of the existing state fire code currently, because many of the newer facilities that are coming in have split units. They're all electric without any carbon monoxide producing devices. In fact, most of the hotels that are getting licensed today don't have central heating units. And normally the hot water units are vented outside and completely away from the established units, sleeping areas. So with that, I will just continue the conversations. Thank you, Senator Latz.
Members, any final comments, questions? Okay, Senator Latz, do you have the final amendment that you need to make? Would you like me to describe that?
I think the amendment here would be to move this Senate File 1267 as amended be recommended to pass and be referred to the Senate floor and granting staff the authority to make technical and conforming changes.
Thank you, Senator Latz. And on Senator Latz's motion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Aye. The motion prevails and the bill is sent to the Senate floor. That is all we have before us right now. Senator Latz, did you have any final announcements to make for the committee?
Well, that's all we have right now. I appreciate the committee returning to complete this work today. We're able to squeeze it in now instead of a late night. There may be a few other items that are going to come before the committee yet this session, so I'm not sure that we're completely done. But we'll see what comes along. For now, that's all I've got. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Latz. And with that, our committee's adjourned.